Now let's take our copy of God's Word, whatever you have, the Bible, iPad, iPhone, whatever you have, and we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And notice what this verse, what Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus Christ. 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah said these words. He said, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Take care of the dullness of life." Amen. "And his name shall be called Counselor, to take care of the decisions of life. And his name shall be called Mighty God, to take care of the demands of life. And his name shall be called Everlasting Father, to take care of the dimensions of life. And his name shall be called the Prince of Peace, to take care of the disturbances of life. He is a wonderful Lord." Amen? He is a wonderful Lord. I want to talk to you about why baby Jesus was the greatest gift ever. Why baby Jesus was the greatest gift ever. Apparently, people are searching for the perfect gift. I did some research and I found that this Black Friday, shopping was up 20%. Consumers spent $6.22 billion trying to find that perfect gift. Do you realize that 97% of Americans exchange gifts? 97%. You say, "Well, Pastor, it's because we're such a religious society." No. You got to understand, 55% of atheists celebrate Christmas. 55% of atheists who say, "We don't even believe in God," but yet they celebrate Christmas. But everybody is trying to find that perfect gift. I read about a lady by the name of Marie. Marie was 90 years old, and she just decided, "I don't want to fight it. I don't want to fight it." So what Marie did is she got some Christmas cards, and she got some checks. And she decided she would just send out some checks on Christmas. And Marie would take the card, and this is the words that she wrote in every card: "Buy your own Christmas gift this year." And then she sent them out. Christmas came and passed, and a week after Christmas, she went back to the very same desk, and she opened the drawer, and lo and behold, there were the checks. And she realized she had sent all of her family a card that said, "Buy your own gift this Christmas." Well, I'm convinced of all the gifts, the greatest gift ever was Jesus Christ. The greatest gift ever was Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, a child is born and a son is given. When it says a child is born, that shows us the humanity of Jesus Christ. But when it says a son is given, that shows us the divinity of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A few days ago, I came in and there was a gift on my desk. It was a necktie. And I saw the necktie, and to be honest with you, the necktie wasn't even a good-looking necktie. And it was one of those gifts that I probably thought, "I'll re-give this jammy, amen?" And I thought, it's really not a real good-looking necktie. And then I got to looking closer at the necktie, and right on the middle of the necktie, there was a big spot. It was like they had spilled coffee on the necktie. And I thought, now, my goodness, who gives a guy a necktie? It's not a pretty necktie. It's even got a spot on the necktie. This is not much of a gift. And then my assistant said, let me explain. I said, okay. This necktie was given to you by a lady in our church who's friends with a lady by the name of Gail Rogers. I said, okay. I see the necktie, I see the spot on it. Who is Gail Rogers? She said, Gail Rogers is the daughter of your favorite preacher of all time, Dr. Adrian Rogers. And they thought it would be neat if you had one of Dr. Adrian Rogers' necktie. I said, Julie, don't touch that necktie. We've got to get this in a special case. I've got to have this necktie framed. I believe, Julie, that's one of the most beautiful neckties that my eyes have ever seen. Now, see, here's what happened. I started understanding the gift. And when I understood the gift became very precious to me. And see, folks, when I'm talking about baby Jesus was the greatest gift ever, I am convinced when we really understand the gift, when we understand what was really given to us on that Christmas morning, it becomes the greatest gift ever. See, it says a child is born, but a son is given. Now, what type of son was he? I want to say four things about him. First of all, he was the son of the patriarchs. He was the son of the patriarchs. Now, a patriarch is a man who's a leader of a great family. A matriarch is a woman who would be the leader of a great family. If you study Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Where did his genealogy begin, Pastor Benny? Well, it says Abraham begat Isaac. So who's this guy, Abraham? I just want to make it simple. Abraham is the guy that the nation of Israel was started with. Amen? He's the guy that was basically, you know, 100 years old, and his wife was somewhere around 90. And God said, I'm going to give you a child. Amen? And science said it can't happen, and medicine said it can't happen, and the experts said it can't happen. But God leaned over the balcony of heaven and said, it's going to happen. They were the first family ever to pay their pediatrician bills out of their Social Security check. Amen? I can just see them right now sitting on the front porch in Cracker Barrel rocking chairs and diapers hanging on the clothesline. That's how it happened. So Jesus Christ came from the lineage of Abraham, the father of the faith, the starter of the nation of Israel. And if you study, there were 42 generations from Abraham down to Jesus Christ. There was a time in the New Testament when Jesus was teaching, and they said, you're possessed with the devil. You are possessed with the devil. You know, and you think, folks, it hurts you when people say things about you. Barbara said to me on one occasion, she said, it breaks my heart, the things that people say about you. She said, I wish they knew you. It just breaks my heart. I said, well, honey, I hate the things they say about me, but I'm sure glad they don't know all the truth. Amen? So they said terrible things. They said, you've got a demon in you. And look what Jesus said. Your father, Jesus said, your father Abraham, I mean, the one that they had so much faith in, the one that was the starter of the nation of Israel, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. What was he saying? Abraham rejoiced at the very first Christmas. Because, see, in the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, They were saved by looking forward to Christ. We are saved by looking back to Christ. But no one is saved unless we look up to Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way other than Jesus Christ. No other way. He's not a good way. He's not a better way. He's not even the best way. He's the only way. Now, look what verse 57 says. It says, "Then said the Jews unto him, You're not even 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham?" They said, "Get real. You're about 31, 32. He's been dead 2,000 years. How have you seen Abraham?" Look what Jesus said. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, before Abraham was, I am." He said, "Hey, you got to understand something. I didn't begin when the beginning began. I began the beginning." He said, "You got to realize something. I didn't start with start. I started start. You got to realize before Abraham was, I was." And he said, "You got to realize I am the sons of the patriarchs, but also I'm the father of the patriarchs. That's why Isaiah said he shall be called Everlasting Father." Oh, friend, you got to understand something. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He always was. He always was. Now, let me tell you, not only was he the son of Abraham, but he was the son of kings. Now, Mary and Joseph were very poor. They were just a poor couple. Just a poor couple. And the Bible says that this poor couple, if you study their lineage, they had something to be proud of. There were kings in their lineage. Now think about this. Have you ever done an ancestry study and you find out, "I was related to this famous person. I'm in that genealogy. I'm related to that famous known person." Now, I don't know this, but I know that this couple was very obscure and very poor. And perhaps, according to Matthew 1 and 6, they were of the lineage of two kings, David and Solomon. And I don't know. They may have been an element of pride that we're from the lineage of King Solomon. We're from the lineage of King David. But I want you to understand something. There was something far greater than that with Mary. Because for 9 months, she carried a king. For 9 months, ladies and gentlemen, she carried a king in her womb. See, those wise men in Matthew chapter 2, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They understood that Mary had given birth to the King of the Jews. But ladies and gentlemen, he was not only the King of the Jews, but he was the King of Kings. Because Revelation chapter 19, verse 16 says, "He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, what does it mean he was King of Kings? I researched it, and this is what it means. It means he was the king above every king. He was the king above every king. He was born in humanity. As a son, he was given in divinity. But I want you to know, the Bible says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Here's what I want you to realize. No person can put the government upon their shoulder. No person can put the government upon their shoulder. Donald Trump cannot put the government upon his shoulder. Barack Obama cannot put the government upon his shoulder. The Bushes could not put the government upon their shoulders. Clinton could not put the government upon his shoulder. But Jesus, the Lamb of Glory, could put the government upon his shoulder. Now, there are three branches of government. The reason why there are three branches of government in America, it's taken from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. That's why our nation was established with three branches of government. So the government shall be upon his shoulder. How can he put the legislative branch upon his shoulder? I'll tell you how he can. Because he is the lawgiver. I'll tell you why he can put the judicial branch up on his shoulder, because he is the judge. I'll tell you why he can put the executive branch up on his shoulders, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we didn't vote him in, and we can't vote him out, and he's not coming back to take sides. He's coming back to take over as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's none like him. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9 says this, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. And on that day there will be one Lord. His name alone shall be worshiped." We're celebrating the Christmas season. Now I want you to understand, the first time he came to a manger, but the next time he'll come in majesty. The first time he came to a tree, but the next time he'll come to a throne. The first time he came to a crucifixion, but the next time he'll come to a coronation. The first time he stood before King Pilate, but the next time King Pilate will stand before him. The first time they said nail him, but the next time they'll say hail him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he's the Son of Kings, but he is the King of Kings. And somebody said, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in this world? I'll tell you what's going to happen. This world is coming to Jesus, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Hey, folks, let's do this. Let's stop and just take a moment and praise the one that we're here about. Can we do that? Him. Only him. Only him. Only him. See, folks, oh, when you understand the gift. See, the necktie became precious when I started understanding the necktie. He's the son of patriarchs. He's the son of kings. But don't you understand something? He's the son of sinners. Now let me explain. Jesus never sinned. He did not have a sin nature. If he had, he could not have died for your sins. So I want you to get that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Now, let me share something. I wonder how many of you have ever had family members that you were somewhat ashamed of. You don't have to raise your hands. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "Pastor Benny, do you all have a family reunion?" I said, in my side of the family, we really want to, but all of them can't get out of jail. You know what I'm trying to say? We really want to. And this story probably relates it. It says, the Smiths were proud of their family tradition. Their ancestors had come to this country on the Mayflower. They included senators. Their family included senators and Wall Street wizards. They decided to compile a family history, a legacy for their children and grandchildren. They hired a fine author. Only one problem arose. There was Uncle George. Every family has an Uncle Cy or an Uncle George, amen? There was Uncle George, and the problem with George, He had been executed in the electric chair. The author said he could handle the story tactfully. The book appeared. It said, "Great Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a great shock." Now, I studied the genealogy of Jesus. Most of the time, folks, in a Jewish genealogy, women were not mentioned. But I studied the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and I noticed four women were mentioned. You say, yes, in Matthew 1 and 3, Tamar was mentioned. In Matthew 1 and 5, Rahab was mentioned. In Matthew 1 and 6, Bathsheba was mentioned. Now, wait. So four women are mentioned. Not normally are they mentioned, not in a Jewish genealogy, but those three there were mentioned. So I thought about, who was Tamar? She was a lady who had a child by her father-in-law. There was Rahab. She had a label. They called her Rahab the harlot. And then there was Bathsheba. She was the one who had the affair with the king. And I thought, why did he mention these people in his genealogy? Why did he mention the Tamars and the Rahabs and the Bathshebas? Because you know what I believe? I believe many people can relate to the Rahabs, the Tamars, and the Bathshebas, because they've made a mess out of their life also. And I believe Jesus Christ looked back through his genealogy and said, those people need a Savior. Those people need a Savior. But you needed a Savior too, and I needed a Savior too. And that's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he died. See, folks, he's the son of the patriarchs. He's the son of kings. He's the son of sinners. But I don't want to stop here, because he was and is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. You know, if you ever have a night and you can't sleep, just get your Bible and start reading the genealogies. This one begat this one. This one begat that one. It will knock you out. It will knock you out. It really will. It will knock you out. And I was reading the genealogy of Jesus. You know, it starts there, remember, like I told you, with Abraham. And then we get down to verse 16, and I want you to see what it says. Here we go again. And Jacob begat Joseph. You remember Joseph? The man in the Bible. Think about this. The man in the Bible who was the daddy of Jesus, there's not one record in the Bible of him ever speaking a word. Maybe why he had a great marriage. Anyway. Not an exaggeration. Years ago, back when they used to have the old payphones, I pulled up at a payphone one time. I wanted to use it. And I sat there, and the guy was in there on the payphone. And I thought, I need to make a call. And he wasn't saying anything. Just holding the phone. And after about, it seemed like an hour, but it's probably about 15 minutes. I said, sir, I need to make a call. He looked at me and he said, "Leave me alone. I'm talking to my wife." Now wait. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Notice it doesn't say that Joseph begat Jesus, because he wasn't the father. God was. See, get this. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. Because he was the Son of God, he was born of a virgin. See, you say, well, Pastor Benny, I don't totally understand. The virgin birth doesn't depend upon you totally understanding. The virgin birth doesn't totally depend upon you totally understanding. I don't totally understand how a brown cow eats green grass, gives white milk, and yellow butter. I don't totally understand it. But I'm like my old preacher, Vance Havner. Vance Havner said, I don't totally understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit in the dark until I do. So, Pastor Benny, I just really have a problem. No earthly father. And a baby was created. Don't you have a problem? I have no problem. You say, why do you have no problem? Get real, folks. God created a man by the name of Adam without a mama or daddy. Amen? And he created a woman named Eve without a mama or daddy. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I really can't put my mind around it. Let me explain your problem. Your problem is your God is too small. Your God is too small. Mary said, I don't understand it. God said, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Why did Jesus come? I'm almost done. God put Adam and Eve in a garden. Put Adam and Eve, created them, put them in the garden. They had dominion in the garden. But Adam and Eve sinned. Then they were no longer servants of God. They were slaves to sin. And salvation was lost by man. And it had to be reclaimed through man. God's a spirit. He's the great I am. How was he going to bleed and die? I'll tell you how. God fathered a child through a virgin by the name of Mary. And Jesus Christ was born. I'll tell you a thought I had this week. The angels got so excited about his birth. But have you ever thought about this? The reason why the angels got so excited about his birth, that's the first time they ever saw God. They saw God. They saw God. What's God like? Jesus is God. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus lived 33 sinless years. 33 sinless years. And then he went to a cross. And he took my sins and he took your sins upon himself, because it took the perfect Son of God to pay the penalty for our sins. Oh, folks, if we understand the necktie, if we understand the gift, we'll leave here smiling so big today you could get a clothes hanger in your mouth. Amen? If we really understand what God has done for us. The Son of God, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. You know, Mary said, It can't happen. I've not known a man. And the angel said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't know what's weighing on you this year. I don't know what's on you. My heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to you. I don't know what's weighing on you. But this is the word I want to leave you with. With God, nothing's impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. When you can't work it out, God can work it out. When you can't work it out, God can work it out. You say, I want to get it resolved. Many times, folks, it's not in trying. It's just in trusting. It's just giving it to God. It's just letting go and letting God. Just letting go and let God. Say, we can't seem to work it out. No, we can't many times. We just give it to God, and then He works it out. And then we just say, thank you, Lord. You did what I couldn't do.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.